What is up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast, Season 4, Episode 44.
Hey!
We are here to...
Barack Obama, go ahead.
What? Oh my gosh. Wait, we got Barack Obama on mic?
Does that mean our next episode is the Trump episode?
No. We are here to bring you the latest news, reviews, PS5 and Xbox Series X impressions, and everything else of the game industry and culture, but from a minority perspective. I am your host for today, DJ, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka the nose on the mic. That doesn't really work in audio.
That's fine.
But
when they hear your heavy breathing, they'll know why.
Bet. I like that. Aka the exaggerated the exaggeration of a black teen. I don't know. A la GameSpot's review of Miles Morales. Weird, very weird. AKA, did you know that the GTA 5 trailer is actually older than most Fortnite players?
Ha.
Surprise, surprise.
Wow.
I am Sean MF Ross.
What the MF stand for?
I got a PS5.
I like that. Both the M and F are silent. Nice.
Mm-hmm. I am Douglas Nivens II, a.k.a. as deserted before this Court of Appeals of Maryland sitting in the great city of Annapolis. I am Counsel Ipsa Dixa, also known as the exuberant barrister of Baltimore.
Nice. Ipsa Dixa. I like that.
And I was about to make a quick comment on your, did you know, just start thinking about the reasoning behind that. So if Grand Theft Auto came out 7 years ago, is 7 the average age of a Fortnite player or the outlier of...
They said the trailer for GTA 5.
Okay, so yeah, the trailer of GTA 5 then. So that means 8, but still...
Sounds about right.
8-year-olds are the average, like, age for Fortnite.
There's a lot of 8-year-olds playing Fortnite.
There's a lot.
I want to see the math behind that. But
our resident statistician.
Yes, I have to.
I know,
be.
Right?
It's my job. Jordan, aka JXBot 2.0, because we just came into a new generation, and Xbox is trying.
Congratulations to your newest arrival! Oh my God, your babies look so beautiful.
Well, you'll hear about my awesome transition into the new generation via Xbox Series X in a moment.
But before that, we're going to be talking about what we've been playing.
Ooh.
But before that, I also want to say that we actually just finished a Watch Dogs Legion review. I say we, but them. You guys did, not me, because I didn't play that game.
Mm.
And as a person listening to it, it was very enjoyable. It was a great listen, and I hope you, the audience, listen to it too and watch it because it's video.
Ooh. Yeah. We're at NVIDIA.
So it will be, thank you for asking, Douglas. It will be on IG and on YouTube. So check those things out.
Excellent.
But with that being said, now we could talk about the games we've been playing.
Just a point for Jordan, who is a statistician, whatever. The trailer for GTA 5 came out in October 2011.
So it's 9 years old now.
Indeed.
What kind of math he got going on there?
Well, I mean, it's still like, we don't got to get into like why, but just keep going.
Cool. So, Sean.
This is the GTA 5 trailer discussion tonight. No, I played Watch Dogs. I finished it. Nobody buy it unless it's on sale.
Mm-hmm. If you want to know about our review in one nutshell, there you go.
There you go. So what else have you been playing, Sean?
I actually played Among Us.
Okay.
Did you ever get caught?
He's actually not the only one that played Among Us. I was also part of that group that played Among Us with Sean.
Yeah, our Caribbean friend group played in full Caribbean attire and accents.
It was spicy.
I was the imposter the first couple times, and I just kept on getting sloppy. And I kept on killing someone in front of somebody else and just... I immediately ran to the emergency button to try to cast doubt.
That's a good tactic. Have you heard of the AFK tactic? You just stand there until someone gets next to you.
That's a good one. Oh, wow. Wow.
That's a new one. Did not know that one.
Yeah, a lot of people have been
the first
that
game
one.
That Sean was in with us, he did kill someone and then immediately went to press the emergency meeting button.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, he couldn't be the killer. He reported the body. Us noobs not knowing how this game really worked and found out that he was an imposter. We're like, this son of a bitch. We trusted him.
Like, what was his frequency? Like, was he like the only person hitting the button?
No, it was just that one round where he did that.
And it was like, ah. Gotcha. That's how we do this.
Right.
It's funny because we were playing, we had like a phone conference thing going on, so everybody was included. And you could kind of tell who was the killer each time because they would giggle when they kill somebody.
Yeah.
Isn't that defeat the purpose? You can't speak to people?
Yes. Yes. It does. Look, yes. Yes.
They right. were doing their own house rules like black people play Uno in Monopoly. So it is what it is.
But okay. Next up, Sean, what else have you been playing or I should say experiencing?
So I played Astro's Playroom. I finished it. This is a love letter to all past PlayStation generations. If you have been with Sony from PlayStation 1 all the way to PlayStation 5, this has little nods to all the first party and some multi-platform games. Like, all the little Astro people have different costumes of different games. So, you know, you got your Bloodborne, God of War, Horizon, Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Gear Solid, like all of these are referenced in there if you know what you're looking for, as well as when you're playing through it, there are puzzle pieces you collect, and there are also 3D models of every accessory and what have you for every PlayStation that has been released. So I can see why Sony did not want all the people that they let like preview the game. They only let them show one specific portion of a level and talk about the controller because they didn't want everything else spoiled for people, because it was a pleasant surprise to see all the things that you could collect in this game.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
But I completed it. I may try to platinum it later. I'm not sure. Oh, the load times are spectacular, by the way.
Oh, really? Mm. Well, I would hope so.
One day I'll be at that level. One day.
Yeah, just to give a heads up for the listeners, we are going to talk about the PS5 and Xbox Series X more in depth in our heavy hitter section. But for right now, we're just going to just briefly talk about the games that's been played. So, Jordan, your go.
I've continued my quest into trying to find where enjoyment is located within Watch Dogs.
It's like an archaeological dig right now.
Right.
Yeah. Paleontologist. It just feels like I am getting at that point to which there's something else there for me to find. I mean, it's getting like a 0.1% better.
May I ask where you are in the story?
I'm still like dicking around at the beginning. I'm just trying to get my crew of every area I have access to because the person belongs there. Like, that's what I'm doing. And now that I have a bigger inventory of DedSec, I can see where the allure is. So it's fine. I just moved a lot of my data from my Xbox One to my hard drive. And a select game to my Xbox Series X, one being Watch Dogs Legion, because I wanted to see how improved the load times were. And they have greatly improved, especially when swapping between characters. That's one thing I did not like in the previous one. Like, jumping between characters was a bit of a delay, but now it's less of a performance hurdle.
Jordan, do you still get a load screen, though, when you go from like entering and exiting the safe house?
You know what? I haven't been to the safe house in a long time.
Okay.
I totally forgot there was a little screen for it, but I'll give it a check out later. Also, I've been continuing to play one of my favorite games of two generations ago, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered, and holy shit, does that game look way better on Xbox Series X compared to Xbox One. Because my Xbox Series X is putting out 4K at 60 frames per second. Though my monitor is able to do 1080 at 60 frames, I believe, but the new TV monitor I'm about to mount will have the capabilities of 4K at 60 frames per second at 120 hertz. And if you understand, hertz is like the lag time between your inputs into a controller and what you see on the television. So with that being said, one thing about Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, it's a time trial game. I mean, it comes out as a vehicle combat type game, but it is very much so a time trial game, to which you just have to make sure to get that line right. Like, get that one good line during whatever, you know, trial, whatever Hot Pursuit or whatever Most Wanted, whatever race, and, you know, get your best time. So frequently, because, like, one, if you, like, hit a wall or you hit a car or something like that, that shave off precious seconds, immediately restart.
Oh, wow.
That restart time has been, like, halved almost by three times in terms of, like, me being able to restart an event. So that's something that I found pretty cool, too. Like, noticeable improvements in terms of load times at a fairly granular level. And finally, I've been perusing the EA Play. EA Play is now free to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate owners. The vast majority of Madden since 2015, except for 21, but comparatively 2020 and 2021, Madden 20 is rated higher than 2021. Wow. So, like, it's like they added nothing in 21, so that's why the ratings are so low. So I basically had Madden 21 right now by playing Madden 20.
Did you play multiplayer or just...
No, I mean, dude, there's so many goddamn games in my thing, dog. There's too many games. Like, I can't. I'm literally jumping around like a psychopath. I play.
Yeah, you're avoiding Watch Dogs. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, no, Watch Dogs is in the fray. It's kind of like Thanksgiving. I have all this shit on my plate. I'm just jumping between each one. And, yeah, like, I played some Crackdown. I played some Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I just downloaded Assassin's Creed Valhalla, so I'm probably playing that a little bit. But I've yet to use the quick resume because I do not have enough games on the internal hard drive to do the quick resume feature with. So we'll go into that later. But EA Play is great. I just downloaded Mass Effect 2 and 3 digitally so I can go through those again with my original Mass Effect save. And yeah, there's a lot of games as a Game Pass Ultimate and long-term Xbox One.
You are ready for the second or fourth wave of this pandemic.
Yeah, you know what? Grimly so.
You can't have a second and third wave if you're not done with the first.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
That's what Dr. Fauci would say.
Yup. All right, so Douglas, how about you?
I completed playing Watch Dogs Legion. I was a member of the review cast, which, again, you can see on IG and YouTube. So I can condense my stuff in brief. I think it was fine. It's a fine game. I almost feel ashamed to say, but I actually enjoyed Ghost of Tsushima a little bit better than Watch Dogs, primarily because Ghost had a story with compelling characters, whereas in Watch Dogs Legion, there's no one protagonist. So when in terms of depth of character, you only get that in a villain. And honestly, you only get really one villain who has actual depth. I bought the Gold Edition. I don't necessarily regret buying the Gold Edition, but I will also say it was unnecessary, saying the things that you lock in game matches the things you would have gotten had you know, in lieu of purchasing with your money, you could just gotten it by playing a game. But man, I would say Watch Dogs 2 is still a much better game. It's still my favorite out the franchise. It's just that Watch Dogs Legion, it relies heavily on the play as anyone mechanic. But at the end of the day, you don't really have a team of operatives because you can't play missions with more than one character. You really just have a pool of operatives that you pick from to play your various missions. I just really wanted a lot more out of this game than what we got. So that's why, if I had to rate it in a scale, you know, like 1 to 10, like this is a 7. Metacritic is on spot on when it says that it's a 71 rating. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So.
Whew. Man. All right. Well, on the flip side, both Sean and myself has been playing Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Ooh.
So Sean, do you want to go first with your impressions? I guess we can make it quick because we do plan on doing an actual review for this, so you know.
Yeah.
Did you say hello to danger?
All the time.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like fighting is more focused in this, or is more the focus than gadgets, because he only has access to about 4 gadgets total. And even then, I'd say I only probably use the first 3. The 4th one is situational.
Are Timberlands a gadget? You can
stomp them in the nuts.
To fight Rhino?
So I have that outfit, but I don't like it.
It's heavy armor. Yeah.
I wish you could just put the Tims on like any other outfit. I don't like the specific outfit they have it paired with. But
you want them to have like the traditional Spider-Man yep. Miles outfit with Tims on the bottom?
Dead ass.
Hey.
Rocking a bubble jacket.
That's not a bad idea.
Holler at some girl at McDonald's.
I'm enjoying the story. It did surprise me somewhat. I wasn't expecting the couple twists that it threw in there. I'm not going to spoil anything.
Mm-hmm. What a twist.
I mean, it has genuine, you know, spoilers. There's not too much to say about this game. If you liked the first Spider-Man, you would like this. It's more DLC for the most part, but we'll see how long this story is. Once again, I'm playing this kind of like I do all open world games, right? I'll go unlock a lot of shit first before I actually play the story.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of in the same boat as Sean. I think at this point, you're further in the story than I am.
Yeah. I got the cell phone.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because I...
And I kept going past it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I got the cell phone, but I haven't... I was supposed to play last night, but I ended up playing Gundam.
oh my god.
Gundam's a
you know, I feel like every gamer has that one game that you just go to, just it's predictable, it may even frustrate you, but it's just always there.
Exactly.
If you get a PS5, DJ, and you still find yourself dragging your heels with Spider-Man Miles Morales, Sean can remote play your experience in front of you. That is a feature. A crazy ass feature, sociopathic in my opinion, but available.
I can play Death Stranding for him while he plays Gundam.
Jesus Christ, dude, that's so fucking crazy.
But yeah, Miles Morales. I am loving the world. I am loving the story. I'm loving the characters. I'm loving the music. I'm actually paying attention to the music in this game. That is
what kind of music is it?
It's hip hop. That's what
it is. It's Spider-Man with a couple percussion instruments thrown in. Goddammit.
Yes.
So they didn't go full ASAP fam.
No, they have '90s stereotypical hip hop kind of sounds in there. Yeah. As he's running around.
They were going yeah.
But I'm appreciating all those little touches to differentiate this game from the, you know, Spider-Man 2018 that we know. Where I'm having a little bit of issue is the actual combat. I think I mentioned in the chat that, you know, 2020 has really done a service to change our perspective of how combat works. And like example of that is just Last of Us, how they did combat, and even Ghost and how they did their combat. And they both have a dodge system. And in this game, you know, I'm taken back to remember, you know, my muscle memory from playing Spider-Man 2018 and like, you know, being in 2020 and being like, I don't even want to say a different gamer, but just having different sensibilities now, it definitely feels very dated for me. And it's dated for the fact that I feel like the dodging just doesn't feel as intuitive as it used to. And then the actual enemies on screen that you're fighting, the normal grunts, I feel like their health is fucking ridiculous. Like I'm going through like 2 sets of strings to put down a normal guy. And it's just like,
yeah,
aren't they Roxxon?
No, it's just a normal thugs on the street. I'm like,
but they eat healthy,
obviously. They're all built for combat. I'm
they
just
eat
like,
organic.
Why? They go to the gym,
they lift weights.
Yeah, they don't have COVID.
You know what it's called? It's called the bodega diet. That's what's giving them boosts and buffers.
DJ, I don't think that's the issue with the combat. I think that's the issue with power scaling them that you have an issue with.
I mean, but that's part of the combat, though. It's how much damage my mod... And I also think that another issue that I have with the game is there is a leveling system. This is a RPG in a sense. So as you level up, you do more melee damage. And I think that's where it gets weird for me, because it's just like, okay, well, as I'm getting stronger, I'm able to dispatch these people quicker. But I feel
you have a sense of how much power you can release on a hit versus you're doing baby taps as a new Spider-Man in a game. Because Spider-Man, like I said, can knock people's head clear off their shoulders. He pulls all his punches.
That's the weird thing, is that like we see this dude pull a bridge segment together, and it's just like,
yeah, I'm about to say,
why does it take this man like multiple hits to put down a person? But anyways, I think for me, that's an annoyance. I've worked a way around that by just kicking people into walls and webbing them onto the walls. You're good. You stay right
DJ,
there.
Spider-Man does a lot of his fighting in front of crowds. I think his PR would kind of go down if he was just splattering people's heads.
I don't need him to be putting holes in people. I just need him to knock a person out.
Like, careful who you ask. I mean, some people like that gore.
Also true.
DJ wants to have like some silly anime bullshit. Like you punch someone, they explode into just the blood. No bones, no guts, just mist. Blood.
What you're saying, I don't really see the issue with that, but
then how is it going to be a superhero?
Because we said so. It's like the boys. Because
he's
super.
An effective superhero. That's all I heard.
All the superheroes and the boys are evil except for the woman
and the black guy. Anyways.
He's evil too.
Ain't he a junkie?
Yeah. I don't know. No. I meant Black Noir. Not.
He's super evil.
Anyways, we're going down a tangent. We can ramble about the boys at some point. Anyways, overall, I am really enjoying this game. It is a 10 to 12 hour experience, depending on if you're platinum it or not. And yeah, I mean, there's not really too much to say without spoiling the game.
Yeah.
The first twist that I hit, I kind of saw it coming, but it's still kind of a cool thing. And it's just cool to see a half black, half Hispanic character in a game, and the game's actually supporting that. Yeah. But that is it for what we've been playing. Next up, we have the quick hits. But before that, a word from our sponsors.
What's good, y'all? Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure that you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, then tell 3 people about the podcast. Could be strangers, friends, loved ones, hated ones, your Uncle Jim, I don't know. Every little bit helps. And after you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at PressX2Start, Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube at PressX2StartTV. And if you've already done all this, well done. Platinum trophy achieved.
And we're back. Now it's time for the quick hits. DJ, take it away. I will, DJ. Thanks, DJ. Number one, this comes from Herman Hulse's Twitter account. Head of Worldwide Studios at Sony's Interactive Entertainment, Ghost of Tsushima is our fastest-selling first-party original PS4 game with more than 5 million copies sold since its debut in July. What an incredible achievement by Sucker Punch. This is cool, but there is a lot of caveats to this, where it is the fastest-selling first-party original PS4 game. And basically, you just have to do a lot of, like, if that, then
there
that.
There weren't a lot of new properties first party on PS4. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, and that sold 5 million copies. And that's really cool.
That's still a lot for any game, 5 million.
Yeah, it is. It is, absolutely, yeah. All right, so number two, this comes from The Verge. The Nintendo Switch has been the U.S. best-selling console for 23 straight months.
That's crazy.
That is wild. Like, that's not even... I guess that's Pokemon and Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Because last year was Yep.
And it's cheap.
Yeah, that's also true.
And also, a lot of people weren't buying new consoles. Like, I didn't want to buy a new PS4, considering that the PS5 is around the corner. Exactly. We knew it was inevitable, so a lot of people were saving. And also, you know, there was kind of sort of a economic recession going on, too. So a lot of people were saving that money.
Yeah, did that contribute to it, though? Maybe? Number three. This comes from... CB comicbook.com news. Is that what that is?
No,
it's not. Ha ha! Look at me screwing it up. All right, this comes from CBC News, not comicbook.com. Hoax triggered major policy operation at Ubisoft Montreal, police confirm. So, is this the whole hostage? What they thought was a hostage situation, but it wasn't.
I believe this. Yeah, the Canadian Broadcasting Corp. So there was a hoax where somebody alleged that they were going to bomb Ubisoft Montreal.
Oh my god!
People were barricading themselves in the rooftop. They
Watch Dogs wasn't that bad,
bruh. Like, this is so fucking wild.
But everybody's safe. Just a hoax. False alarm.
Good. 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 Mm. All right. Number four. This comes from Kotaku. Miles Morales and Spider-Man is rocking Adidas instead of Air Jordans 1S, which he wore in the movie. And this disappointed me so much because, I'm sorry, I was a breakdancer. I am a breakdancer. You know, in high school, like, Jordan, or not Jordans, Adidas was kind of the, like, sponsor of breakdancing. So we always tried to get Adidas stuff, and these Adidas look garbage, yo.
Like, they had the classic shell toes.
Oh, my just, God.
The Jordan 1s look better.
Oh, it just... And the thing is, like, as a person, I don't really like Jordans because they're expensive and there's no need for them to be that expensive.
That's because you're an old man.
No. I had this position when I was in high school. In high school, I was like...
You was an old soul.
Yeah, well, yes, but I think that's the first time I've ever been called that. Thank you. Thank you.
The shoe politics is a weird subculture, yeah. But yeah, you're not the only one saying that, you know, this was a weird trade-off.
I think Adidas probably just paid more money and Nike didn't care.
Yep.
Yeah, I would imagine that was the case.
Well, you know what? Hey, at least it wasn't New Balance. Oh,
God. Talking about the All Lives Matter 12.
Them shoes from Payless?
Podiatric Care.
Out there with the Kawhi 2s and the Curry 3s. Those are the worst looking shoes on the planet. I'm not even a shoe person like that. Some orthopedic shoes.
Are you talking about the Kobe's that was inspired by Audi?
No, I'm talking about the Curry's and the Kawhi's. Both Curry and Kawhi make garbage shoes.
Oh, God.
Go look up, listeners, the Kobe Bryant's that was inspired by Audi. They look like boats. Trust me. Oh, no. They're the worst looking shoes ever.
Well, speaking of boats, this comes from number 5, GamesRadar Plus. Assassin's Creed Valhalla has twice as many players on launch day compared to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is actually a really, like, to have twice as many is a big achievement for them, because Odyssey was, I think, like, the best Assassin's Creed, or one of the best, right?
It was one of the highest rated ones since the older Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and 3, because, like, I think when you talk about Assassin's Creed, like, when it comes to, like, Assassin's Creed gamers, you have, like, it's kind of like Kanye West. They have the new Kanye West fans and the old Kanye West fans.
After Black Flag was kind of the switchover, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I see a lot of people saying that was a high point for them.
Well, I mean, the mechanics in Black Flag continued in Unity and Syndicate. After Syndicate is when it went to Assassin's Creed Origins, and that's when you got, like, the, you know, more action-based combat.
Can I remember there was an issue? They would feel like you were getting new Assassin's Creed every year and the quality started going down, so they had to revamp it.
Well, I think a 2-year cycle makes sense because Assassin's Creed Odyssey came out back in 2018.
Well, I mean, twice as many players makes sense because, one, we're still in a pandemic. People are content starved.
True that.
Two, Vikings probably appeals to more people in ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I mean, I hope this would inspire people to go back and check out Odyssey and Origins. I haven't played Origins yet, but at least check out Odyssey again.
There's more supplemental material on Vikings than there is on ancient Egypt, so I could definitely see people being drawn to this.
I would beg to differ. I think we love Egyptian stuff all the time.
No. What I think he's trying to say is Vikings is more popular in pop culture
at this moment.
Yeah, like, well, when I say more supplemental material, I mean, like, there is, like, Last Kingdoms on Netflix. There was, like, a Barbarian Things on Netflix. So, like, it's more in the zeitgeist than ancient Egypt, which I wish there was, like, an ancient Egypt show.
Mm-hmm. Why? So, what the hell is her name?
Gal Gadot?
No, Black Widow.
Oh, I already know you're gonna go.
Oh,
yeah, so she can be a
Scarlett Johansson being Cleopatra.
Yeah, Yeah, she could play all the characters and shit.
Well, like Gal Gadot, she's slated to be Cleopatra.
And remember, yeah. At that time, the folks that for whom Cleopatra descended from, that is the more Greek-rooted dynasty of Egypt, post-Alexander the Great takeover. Yeah.
Right. All right. Number 6. This comes from Eurogamer. New Battlefield game will arrive next holiday with never-before-seen scale.
I am so excited about this because, you know, I think it's been a 64-player cap since Battlefield 1942. Oh. 1942, like, we're talking computers.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, they had a higher player cap than on the consoles. And what EA, what DICE has been saying, like, yo, we're going to, you know, pump up the cap, like, every time. And, like, I think this will be a excellent opportunity for Battlefield to finally get back to winning form as it was back in Battlefield 3 and Battlefield Bad Company 1 and 2.
Mm.
Especially if they want to come back to the modern era. And
yeah,
I'm all for it.
It dropped off for me after Hardline came out. I was like, what is this shit? Battlefield 4 is my last one.
Don't worry. Like, I played Battlefield 1, and in my opinion, Battlefield 1 was like the last solid Battlefield. Like, Battlefield 5 was very conflicting because DICE was separated between Battlefront and Battlefield. Mm-hmm. It took all the resources from Battlefield to move to the Battlefront 2, which has gotten way better over the last couple years. Hopefully now they can reallocate all their sources and making a proper reboot to the Battlefield series and make it 128 players.
Cool.
They can do it if they put the money up for the servers.
All right. Number 7. This comes from Polygon. Joey Chu? Chu.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We'll work with it.
Receives the first PS5. You might not know who he is, but he's actually the first person to get a PS4. This is actually really cool.
He was also the first person to get a PS4 Pro.
Oh, really? Damn.
Mm-hmm.
I want that kind of privilege. You know, let me get...
I know, right?
Anyways, cool for him. There's a whole article about that on Polygon if you want to check it out. But yeah.
And they gave him a plaque, though. That's what really was kind of special.
Oh, they gave him a plaque?
Yeah, they gave him a plaque that said, congratulations, patience is a virtue.
Oh, man.
He stood in line, right?
For the PS4. Yeah. I actually remember that video.
I mean, if I did that, would anyone notice? I'm pretty sure he wasn't the only one.
Who got... No, there's usually one person that gets the first thing of something, right?
I know, but still, come on.
He was the first in the console launch in New York when it came out.
Yeah.
There you go. Right place, right time. I'm pretty sure there was someone in El Paso doing the same thing. I'm just saying, come on.
No, but Sony was at the console launch in New York, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Right place, right time. Not saying he was the only one.
Well, speaking of only one, actually, this is not a segue at all. Number 8, this comes from Pure Xbox. Disney Plus free trial added to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. You can claim this before January 31st. So this is really cool. Jordan, is this really cool?
Because Mandalorian is about, I think 5 weeks away from being done.
Yeah.
So I think if people time it right, they'll be able to see the whole second season of The Mandalorian. For $1 for signing, because you get $1 to sign up for Game Pass Ultimate, and then after that it's $15.
That's so smart.
Yeah, it is.
Disney knows how to do it.
And actually, it's not the only perk that I had access to. I had like a Postmates perk, like free delivery
from having Game Pass.
Yeah, they give you a QR code for it.
I tell you what, man, Xbox—they're like, we know how to bundle some shit.
Yes. They do. They do. I love the competition. They actually, they know how to provide a good quality product with a sound system.
Yeah.
And they have a good business department. They know what they're doing.
As I mentioned, I don't know how long ago, but this generation, there's two fronts to it. There's a Sony front where they're like, this generation is about games. And then there's Microsoft's front where they're like, this generation is about games and services. And it just seems that, like, with the lack of really, really big titles, Microsoft is able to sit on that second part of their plan with the services. And it's just like, I wish like just half of these things was on the PlayStation side, but nope, they don't have the money for it. But speaking of money, it is time for the heavy hitters. Starting with Sean. Take it away.
Well, Jim Ryan promises that there will be more consoles before and after Christmas holiday, in an interview with the BBC. This is self-explanatory, but I don't even know why this is news with the BBC. Of course, they're going to release.
Sean, I got a question. Huh? When you say more consoles, what console are you talking about?
The PlayStation 5.
Oh my gosh, did it launch?
Yes.
Motherfuck.
Don't worry, DJ, we're still waiting that virtual queue on PlayStation website. When it pings, you'll know where I am. So.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So basically, if you read between the lines, Sony is saying that we will make sure our workers continue to be in those factories, even if there's an outbreak.
wait, you forget, many other countries in the world has this under control. We're the ones that have to deal with the raging outbreak.
I mean, why would you count it like that?
Well, you know what? I mean, it's all about the fulfillment center stuff, too. Yeah. You know, got to get them out there. But that's a different conversation. My bad, Sean.
Go ahead, Douglas.
No, no. I think that part of the reason why I put the BBC put it is because so few people have the console. Just not many.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things where Microsoft, you know, after a Series S launch, they put up that tweet about this was their biggest launch or something or whatever. And it's kind of like, okay, I get that. But like your main console hasn't even launched yet. So it's like, that's really impressive. But at this flip side, I'm waiting for Sony to put out like, hey, this was our biggest launch.
I'm pretty sure.
But the thing is, because of COVID, it's like, can they really say that though?
Yeah.
So I don't know. And it seems like they've taken a staggered launch approach, but didn't really tell anyone they were going to take a staggered launch approach. We just kind of assumed that it was going to happen and we get news that they're actually doing that. Yeah.
And they've been,
here's the console and here's the link. Oh wait, we shared the link 3 hours before the console reveal.
And they've been rationing out the console. So they had some certain number of consoles for pre-order, some certain number of consoles for the 12th, some for the 13th. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just doing like a slow drip, 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 which gives you the impression maybe one day I'll be able to buy it, but
yeah.
Maybe one day you'll get a Golden
Ticket. I need
but no.
Yeah, you're gonna have a bot.
You're stuck sleeping next to your granddad in the cold winter.
This is just exacerbated by the fact that everybody has to compete with bots and other people online. Normally this would not be an issue. Once again, this happens every console release. It's just exacerbated by the pandemic.
You're right.
And
okay, so full disclosure, Sean does have a PS5, so he is talking on top of his high horse.
and Jordan right talking from his. You also got your Xbox. Y'all both living a good life.
Wait.
Oh, no, it's I said hello from the other side.
Real quick. Yes. Real quick. Let's not forget that Sean was given the Golden Ticket from a random sweepstakes that Sony had put. Okay? Let's not forget
DJ,
about that. Because I haven't forgot, Sean.
DJ, I need you not to complain because I offered you the ability to buy one and you were like, no, fuck it. I'm going to just wait till later.
The past
so
is the past,
don't complain.
Sean.
Yeah, you shut your ass up. I offered everybody in our group a chance to buy the shit and they said, nah, I'll just wait.
Nah, you're right. This has been the like most low stakes console release for me because even not getting it, it's just kind of like, all right, that I'm just going back to playing Gundam anyways. So I'm good.
So you can't really complain, DJ. You've been very passionate.
Yeah, no, I know.
You weren't really about it.
So then, I guess, Sean, since you have the PS5, what has been your experience with it?
Well, first of all, I had a scary experience trying to get the second one for our friend because they said it was delivered, and I go pick it up and it was not there. I was like, you son of a bitch, FedEx employee, you stole it. So I rushed up to FedEx and gave them the tracking number. And they said, yeah, it was delivered to 4910. And I was like, that's not my goddamn address. What the fuck?
Yo.
Oh, no. No, you put an APB value. You put out an Amber alert. You tell them my child has been taken.
My address that I intended to deliver it to is 4901. I'm like,
shit.
So I go to my order page. I'm like, son of a bitch, I did put 4910. How could I do this? Yo.
Oh, no.
Listeners, do not order shit late at night. I swear to God.
So what happened?
First of all, I did not tell FedEx that I fucked up. They were like, we'll go try to retrieve it from the house that it was delivered to. But, you know, I had to go back to work. So when I was free, I went to go look for 4910. It turns out 4910 doesn't even exist.
Wow.
It's a weird street little thing that my mother lives in.
It's like a hole.
No, it's a weird little neighborhood setup. Side but street. The houses stop at 4908.
Wow.
So I'm like, where the hell did they actually deliver this to then?
It's just on the middle of the street somewhere.
I mean, for real though, Sean, like, what are they delivered to the wrong house? Like, what are they delivered to?
No, okay, so they actually did. There's a 4910 around the corner that actually did receive it because I ended up leaving notes on a few doors like, hey, I think you got my package. Thankfully, it was an older gentleman who was honest, so he called me back the next day like, hey, I got your note.
That idiot, he had no idea what he had.
He had no idea.
Well, like, that's what I said. It could have been delivered to the wrong house. It could have been like, what? This is like it could have been Debo up in there.
So this,
you know what I mean? Like, what PS5?
The secondary PS5 was for a friend who gave me money to buy his. And I felt terrible. Like, shit, I shouldn't open mine yet. You know, I feel bad playing mine.
Did he get his?
Yeah, I immediately got it that morning, delivered it to a friend of our show, Romier. I finally played mine, and first of all, I thought it glitched because I started it up and it was just sitting at the home screen with nothing on the screen. But I had to press a button, and then, you know, stuff popped up.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh god, no.
No, God, please, no, 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 no.
Break, yo.
Hold up.
Dear God, no.
Yo,
he just turns
Sean
red.
Looks down. His controller has two triangle buttons. I'm like, what the fuck? What's good? By the way, that's actually a thing that happened to someone's controller. They had two triangle buttons.
Yeah. No, so I was sitting there looking at the home screen for a minute because I was waiting for it to do something. I thought it was like doing some initial setup of something. Mm-hmm. So I actually waited for like two or three minutes. But, interestingly enough, when I signed in, it said, hey, do you want to set one of your games that you own to download already? Which was, I think, either Bugsnacks or Miles Morales. Like, while you're setting this up, do you want to have this download in the background? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's convenient. Really cool.
And you didn't pick Bugsnacks over Miles Morales?
No, I set them both. And I started playing Astro's Playroom.
Nice.
And my wife was like, all right, let's see all these good ass graphics that you done been bitching about for the past couple months.
I know, right?
Like, shut up. It's not only the graphics that are next gen.
The price of the PS5 could have been tuition for your daughter's private kindergarten.
That's fine. I'm smart enough to teach her. She can learn from me.
Here's a nail gun pointed at enemy.
No, the controller is honestly the most next gen thing. About the system. I mean, we're not going to see ridiculous graphics for another year or two, you know. I got Demon's Souls. I literally started playing that before I got on the cast, but I only killed like the initial enemy in the tutorial area and then like, all right.
Okay.
It took you 5 hours, didn't it?
Yeah.
You having fun with it?
Yeah, interestingly enough, like with my Astrobot. Like, they have certain sections that really, really show off the controller well. I think there's one section where you're running through a sandstorm and you can feel individual pieces of sand, you know, hitting you.
That's pretty cool.
Or, you know, you can feel him running around on different surfaces and it's
not... Is this
not
all, like, through vibrations?
Yes. But it doesn't... And the speaker, though. So it works in concert with each other to give you a very immersive experience. Especially when they have this one level where you have a spring outfit, and as you twist the controller from side to side, you can feel the spring compressing, as well as when you're using the adaptive triggers.
Yeah. Or haptic. Mm-hmm. Is it haptic feedback? Or whatever. You're right.
It's both. It's both. They also have another section where you're a monkey climbing up you're in a monkey suit, rather, in the game, and you're climbing up the side of a wall, and
I felt
you
attacked.
Have grips.
I'm not sure why. I felt attacked, but I'm not sure why.
I know. I mean, like, I just don't trust Sony and Monkey in the same sentence.
And you're a monkey.
Unless it's Monkey King. But
so normally in most games, like, we have fully analog triggers, and you know it can sense pressure.
Right.
With this, they have certain sections of the wall where you're not supposed to grip too hard, and it actually stops you. Like, there's resistance. And if you push past the resistance, you'll break the grip that you are holding onto and fall off the wall.
That's interesting.
That's very cool.
So, Sean, how does it feel in your actual hands? Like, is it comfortable in your hand?
Yes. It's bigger than the PlayStation, the DualShock 4. So, it does actually feel pretty much better. Mm. It is slightly off-putting to have to squeeze the trigger hard as you do certain things because the resistance is there. I think, like, my wife, like, there's a gacha machine in the game as well, and it shows off the triggers pretty well because you have to pull down on, it's kind of like a slot machine. You pull down on the arm and it, you know, it pushes back fairly well. You really have to try it to understand. It's hard to explain via video or me telling you about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds pretty good. Sounds like you're enjoying your time. And of course, the more time you have with it, the more things you'll learn about it. I'm interested to hear about, like, the trophy system, because I apparently it's like not on the control bar or something. I don't know. But
so the trophy system still pops up as normal. I know they showed in the previews, like, this big ass bar that pops up at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You only see that when you're replaying it in your capture gallery.
Oh, interesting.
How about that storage space, my guy?
It's 667 gigabytes, like they explained.
How many do you have left?
I didn't install too much yet, so I'd have to check. Mm-hmm. A lot of PlayStation 5 owners are turning off their trophy videos to save console space. I'm not sure how much they take up, because I just deleted it without looking. And lastly, a Sony exec said that the transition from the PS4 to the PS5 is expected to take 3 years, but that sounds alarming to some people if you haven't been following Sony overall.
Right.
They typically support all their systems for a good 10 years. The PlayStation 3 just got stopped being produced in 2016 in North America. So that's pretty much par for the course.
Makes sense, yeah.
But that's my... I mean, you'll hear more about the PS5. I've been playing Astrobot and Miles Morales without actually delving too far into how the system works.
Right. Cool. Jordan?
I also... Well, you know what? How do you want me to go into the stories right quick? Because I hit them right quick for us. As you know, Xbox Series X launched on Tuesday of this week. Phil Spencer, the executive vice president, my boy, Phil Spencer, better than booty, but both Phil and booty, you know, they go together.
I said Phil and booty, huh?
Oh yeah, I heard what you said. Thank you. Like, they're saying that this is the biggest Xbox launch in history. Mm-hmm. And as a barometer, you know, compared to Sony, Xbox's video game endeavors are still younger, but still matured. I mean, like they've built four versions of their console. They've been through four generations, and they truly want to make a statement coming into this generation that I'll go into later. But there is a high demand, big global supply chain hiccup in regards to many electronics, not just including consoles, but, you know, console components or computer components like graphics cards, CPUs, monitors, all that is in really short supply, and Xbox is, for the most part, being pretty blunt about this. If you didn't pre-order an Xbox this fall, likelihood of you getting one is very low. Unless some distributors out there had a clear storage for Black Friday or for early Christmas, Microsoft themselves, they're pretty much saying that it's pretty much donezo for getting a new Xbox Series X. Also, Microsoft is looking forward to buying a new Japanese studio. There are rumors that they were going to buy Sega or Capcom, but
they bought Japan.
They bought Japan. It's clear. I mean, like, in terms of how Phil Spencer words things, as one of the tentpoles of Xbox leadership now, becoming more one of the tentpoles of Xbox leadership, is very flexible with his language. Rarely is he, like, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen. He keeps his cards very close to his chest. So one of the subsequent interviews after this story, Phil Spencer basically said that, hey, we kind of already have a Japanese studio. Like, I think it's called Tenge. I'll look it up later. But they're like, we're going to focus on that. Additionally, he says, I'm not involved with those types of conversations. So clearly,
if it's what I'm thinking of, I think it's the studio that was owned by ZeniMax.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, ZeniMax had a pretty large inventory of game studios. Yeah. But Phil basically said, I'm not a part of whatever that large, you know, acquisition that people are alluding to. He's like, I'm just focusing on what we have right now, which I do respect. And also, yeah, Microsoft had some struggles with logins on Series X during launch day. I was not a part of that first wave. I got my Series X a little bit later in the week. There were a few videos that may have come across your timeline that Microsoft Series X's were creating smoke and allowing people to have s'mores on them or whatever. Don't worry, that's a bunch of, you know, YouTube, Twitter hype beasts trying to get some clicks. Literally vaping into their system and possibly causing it harm. Because Microsoft said explicitly on Twitter that, like, they said something along the lines of, we can't believe we have to say this. Please do not blow smoke into your nose. It just doesn't make sense.
Hey, I mean, it worked with some people because my cousin was like, hey, you see them Xboxes are smoking, right? Exactly, I'm like, dumbass.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it had the desired effect of sending out that grand misinformation, but luckily GameStop, Kotaku, IGN had follow-up articles saying that, you know, this is a pretty malicious, you know, fodder campaign done by, you know, just hypebeast and Zoomers, possibly. I don't know. But if they want to destroy their console that's probably valued about $8,000 right now, they can go on ahead. Speaking of which, Xbox Series S scalpers are currently selling consoles for $1,000. I saw a offer on eBay for $8,000. That's why I said the $8,000 number.
That's so wild.
So scalping's very...
They're doing
very,
the same with PlayStation as well.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I actually, PlayStation was $32,000. It was four times the amount I saw on eBay.
You can buy a car with that. Fuck, yo.
Yeah.
You should do a counter offer like $1. Like, right. Price is right. I'll give you $1, Bob.
I know, yeah. And finally, Xbox Phil Spencer says that, hey, the gaming industry needs more black leaders.
There you go, DJ.
Yep.
Early 2019, they had the Blacks at Xbox campaign, which was maliciously attacked by both black and white content creators for no apparent reason, even though it was made clear that the individual software engineers, department
that
leads,
blacked at Xbox wanted that name.
Yep.
That black people and positions of leadership at Xbox wanted that name and tried to create an initiative for it, but it just shows the gaming zeitgeist is childish and stupid at times.
Well, that's people in general. They don't read beyond the headline.
This is true.
No, they don't. But hearing Phil Spencer say explicitly that, you know, there needs to be more African Americans in leadership and a growing conversation of this new concept called equity, which means fair treatment, being done not just by private organizations, but by government too, in terms of hiring. I'm glad to see that a video game company wants to take initiative and be explicit by saying that the leadership within our company is not representative of our customers, nor, you know, demographics nationwide.
Well, then they also released a report, though. I mean, one thing to give Microsoft credit, they actually have people that actually track the data on their hirings. And I believe they went from like 1% to 4%. So, like, yay, that's great.
I mean, that is great by rate. Yeah. You know, like it's not four people, it's 4%. And like now that more companies are publishing that information, that will improve accountability. So hopefully other, not just game console makers, but video game companies will begin to publish their data like governments are currently doing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll quickly, if we have time, can I quickly go into my Xbox Series X experience, if that's okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I was scared at a time because back in September, I was one of the lucky few to get a pre-order via Amazon. And then in October, Amazon had sent me a message stating that, hey, you might not get your console anywhere near the time it releases. So don't get mad at us for telling you now than later. So I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll be one of the lucky ones. And then literally 2 days before the release, me and other Amazon pre-orders for Xbox Series X had received a message saying that, all right, it's kind of like a greater than or equal to or less than or equal to type statement. Like, you might get it on December 31st and all the days before that. But we're not saying you're going to get it after it. We promise you it'll be before or within the next month and a half. But through the graces of the video game overlords, I was able to get my Xbox Series X yesterday and have it delivered to my parents' house. And thank goodness it did, because it was a cool 30 minutes until I was notified via the app that my console was at my parents' place, which is, you know, I live in the city and they live in the burbs. So, you know, like, it's not, I mean, like, burbs are, you know, for the most part, relatively easy targets when it comes to this. But still, it felt better if, like, for me to send it there than in the city. And I put up a separate thing about this, but
you could have shipped it to my job. I would have been able to deliver it, since, unlike you, my office is still open to the public.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, the packaging of it was not that protected, unfortunately. I was kind of worried about that. I kind of sprinted down to my parents' place in PG. I was like, I can't. I will not be getting any sleep tonight thinking my shit's broken. So I got it. And, you know, I opened it up. Packaging was awesome. If you check out the other videos for the Xbox Series X box and its packaging, it was pretty impressive. Like, it's comparable to, like, iPhone and how they do it.
Wow.
You kind of felt like you're getting something special. But I hooked it up. I transferred all of my data from my Xbox One to one of my Seagate hard drives, one of my 5 terabyte Seagate hard drives. And it was immediately compatible with the Xbox Series X. It was astonishing how quick of a transmission of all the information on my, at least my profile, my settings, all that on my Xbox One to the Xbox Series X. Even my background was the same. So, like, that was, like, I had to look down at my Series X from time to time to see whether or not I was actually playing my Series X. Like, that's how seamless of a transition it was in terms of user interface and in terms of, like, all my account settings. So I slowly migrated a few applications, but one thing I'm noticing, those applications with add-ons, you might need to reinstall them onto the internal hard drive for you to retrieve that save, because it had additional content. That happened with Assassin's Creed. I had, like, the season pass, which was about 7 different add-ons to it. And I had to reinstall it again to actually access my save file and all my content. The same thing happened with an older game, Mass Effect 2. I had a tremendous amount of add-ons on that game that I had to reinstall again. So those games with add-ons, when you're transferring them from external hard drive to the console itself, might be a little finagly, but, you know, just, like, reinstalling them is working perfectly fine right now. The load times are crazy. I've done my own comparisons based on times I've seen of the PS5, and it's kind of like, yeah, you have to be very persnickety. Yeah, maybe that's the term, but, like, very, very stringent in having the load time affect you. But one thing I am saying, like, with one game, Need for Speed Heat, the load was 22 seconds, while on the PS5 it was a minute and 10 seconds. But when it comes to Assassin's Creed Valhalla, PS5 outbeats the Series X by, like, 5 seconds or something like that when it comes to load again. So it's kind of a case-by-case basis. Like, maybe you can find a, you know, someone that wants to put that spreadsheet together to see, like, how each game compares. But the load times are pretty great, and I do intend to use the quick resume when I finally have more newer games because I currently have Watch Dogs on the internal hard drive to use the SSD technology later on. So that's what I'm doing right now. I mean, I'm loving my Series S. The controller feels... I was surprised about how well the controller feels compared to the one.
How does that D-pad feel?
I mean, like, because it takes from the Elite controller.
Right.
The D-pad is the same methodology of the Elite controller, actually connecting the directions. which I think would be helpful with those games that need that type of specificity when it comes to where the D-pad is directed at, I guess. But Xbox Series X, it's very powerful. Oh, and also I am noticing improved textures on Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2, improved textures on Tomb Raider, and also improved textures on Watch Dogs too. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think the biggest improvement is Forza Horizon. That ray tracing technology is for real when it comes to those car models. Like, I mean, it's crazy. I'm seeing the reflection of flowers on my car.
Wow.
Like, that's how detailed the ray tracing was. Like, I don't remember seeing like those types of specific objects are being reflected off those surfaces. And the water physics are fucking crazy. It's great. I mean, this console does feel pretty special. So I'm glad to have gotten it before Cyberpunk 2077, because that's going to be the next big test for me, that game.
True. Yeah, I think for both Xbox Series X and PS5, when it comes to Cyberpunk, you'll be playing the previous gen version of that game on your next gen. Because they're not releasing the updated version of the game for next gen until next year, I believe. So
I'd imagine they still have the optimized feature, though. The optimization feature. I mean, we have to see when it comes out if they allow. Because, like, I had to download a 64 gigabyte patch for Forza Horizon 4, and also for Watch Dogs Legion. Like, that's the XS optimization feature is what they push with the Xbox Series X and the Xbox Series S. So maybe they'll have that on Cyberpunk 2077. We'll see.
I guess we will see. I guess we'll see. But what we won't see... No, wait. That sounds very foreboding. Foreboding. Nailed it. I'm just going to pretend I didn't say that. This has been another episode of Press X to Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. I think there was a sentence in between there that I forgot, but... Until next
time. Rate and review us. Yes. Every little bit counts.
Yes. Thank you, Douglas. Rate and review us, because every little bit counts. We actually had a dip in our listens. It seems that the dip is going back up now. So thank you, everyone who has decided to start listening to us, and the people who continue to listen to us.
We appreciate you.
But the people who stop listening to us, fuck you. Fuck you.
Wow.
Fucking no, friends. No. He only speaks for himself. He does not speak on behalf of the Press X Collective.
I know, right?
Thankfully, you can't see the angry face.
But your mom's cool.
Oh. Yeah.
Your dad, though. Your dad's also cool. Yeah. You got a good family.
Bye, y'all.
It's just... Oh, all right. Bye, guys.
Tutela.
All right, guys.